Well, greetings, everyone. This is Christopher McClellan, the presenter for Healing Ties 2.0 on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. And as you know, we are featuring some new shows during this time slot. And today, I am thrilled to introduce you to my good friend, Elizabeth Miller. Elizabeth is a national speaker, workshop leader, and a global advocate for family caregivers. Through her consulting services and free resources, Elizabeth helps family caregivers integrate caregiving with their busy lives. Elizabeth's personal experience caring for her aging parents with chronic and terminal illness, as well as caring for a sibling with developmental disabilities while working full-time and raising a family, inspired her to create Happy Healthy Caregiver. I know you're going to enjoy Elizabeth Miller.
Caring for aging parents or other loved ones while working, raising children, and trying to live your own life? Wondering how to find the time for your personal health and happiness? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast, the show where real family caregivers share how to be happy and healthy while caring for others. Now, here's your host, family caregiver and certified caregiving consultant, Elizabeth Miller.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast on the Whole Care Network. If this is your first time listening, welcome. This is a podcast produced bi-weekly to help family caregivers integrate self-care and caregiving into their lives. Each of our episodes has an accompanying show notes page, so if you would like more details about the topics and products we speak about, you'll find the show notes by going on the website, happyhealthycaregiver.com, and underneath the podcast menu, just click the image for today's show. Speaking of our show, join the Happy Healthy Caregiver email list and you'll be up to date on all the podcast happenings, as well as receiving important announcements, upcoming events, special offers, and more direct to your inbox. You can do that by going to bit.ly/HHC eNews. That's HHC eNews. Before we get into today's Caregiver Spotlight episode, I want to first shine the light on our episode sponsor. Hands Free Health does more than provide 24/7 emergency response. They deliver peace of mind. Awarded an Editor's Choice by PC Magazine, Hands Free Health earned their highest rating ever for a medical alert system. The only medical alert system with a virtual health assistant, Hands Free Health makes caring for a loved one as easy as using your voice. Medication reminders, health answers, appointment reminders, and caregiver notifications keep you on top of your loved one's care and connected like never before. Hands Free Health also entertains with free music, news, audiobooks, and weather forecasts. Monthly monitoring starts at or below traditional medical alert systems, and you can choose between a smartwatch or smart speaker. Bundle of the two, you can save over 45%. Purchase yours at shop.handsfreehealth.com and use promo code HAPPY to receive $20 off and free shipping. In today's show, we're shining the caregiver spotlight on Paul Malley. Paul is the president of Aging with Dignity, a position to which he was named in 2002. Throughout his career, he has nearly 20 years of experience in the field of aging and advanced care planning. In this episode, Paul and I talk about what aging with dignity looks like and doesn't look like, how the founders' work with Mother Teresa ignited the purpose of their organization and the Five Wishes document, what the Five Wishes document even is, and why if you are over the age of 18, you will want to write your wishes down. We also talk about trends in aging, including artificial intelligence and capturing our loved ones' stories. You'll also learn how this working parent of six children infuses self-care into his daily routine and how their organization even helps their employees carve out the time and space to invest in their health and happiness. I hope you enjoy today's show. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Good to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, nothing better to do. I hear it's raining in both of our areas today, so it's a good day to catch up. And I'm excited. I've used your resource in the past and was wishing that I had gotten to know what it was sooner in my life rather than later. And so hopefully this episode will help fast track people to a resource that can help them.
That sounds great. Timing is important for sure.
It is. Paul, do you have any personal caregiving experience, or how did you end up kind of in this field?
Yeah, great question. So when I first heard about the mission of Aging with Dignity, and that's the nonprofit organization that created the Five Wishes document, I learned about 20 years ago. And my first thought went instantly to my grandparents. I was the youngest child in my family. So from probably about the age of 7 or 8, I kind of grew up in hospitals and nursing homes at the bedside of my grandparents. And I saw the difficult side of that, how challenging it could be for my grandparents and my parents. But I also saw how beautiful it could be in these little moments of being together, and whether that's at a bedside or sharing in a meal together. So that's why my heart attached to the mission of Aging with Dignity 20 years ago. And I've been here ever since.
Wow. Wow. You're a lifer with Aging with Dignity. I love it. You know, I get so excited about talking to you. I skipped the caregiver jar. We're going to have to go back. And this is a jar that I created for my sister when we were transitioning care from me being the primary caregiver to her. And it's just, you know, it's a little overwhelming. It's not like, hey, can you watch my kids for an hour? It's like, it's a huge thing. And so this was something that I created for her to just kind of give her a little bit of inspiration and motivation in the day. So this one says, and this is perfect because you're a working guy who's got to balance a lot of different things. It says, balance is not something you find, it's something you create. Any thoughts on that?
Ooh, that is a good one, especially in, you know, in the past year plus, a lot of us feel like our balance or our equilibrium has been knocked off, right, by circumstances around us, from pandemic, or certainly if somebody has an illness in the family, or all of a sudden you're a caregiver, you can feel knocked off your balance. Mm-hmm. So I think yes and no, because certainly outside influences, things beyond our control, can knock us off balance a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also important to realize there are things that we can do to recalibrate. If you get knocked off balance, you don't have to stay off balance. You can look for little adjustments that can help you to recalibrate and feel a bit back in balance and in control of the things that you can be in control of.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important with caregivers to know that, because this has got to be a sustainable journey, right? It's not something where we can just give and not retreat and refill and re-energize. And so we do have to figure out, and there's an art, and maybe balance is maybe not my favorite word, although it's a quote that I had picked out. It's, I think, integrating and infusing bits of your self-care into your day. It can be important. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, because I'm curious what you're doing for your own self-care. But first, you know, your company that you work for is called Aging with Dignity. And this brings a question to mind, is like, what does aging with dignity look like? You know, I just hit my 50 year mark here. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. So what does it look like?
I'm sure you are. It looks like you are. You've got it all together there. Well, you know, in my mind, when I think of aging with dignity, when I think of the word dignity, I think that it conveys a sense of worth or value, the worth or value that we put in the lives of other people around us, how we recognize that worth or value. And what we saw when Aging with Dignity was created a couple of decades ago is that people who are aging or living with serious illness or disability, oftentimes they're the people whose dignity or worth or value or sense of worth is in most jeopardy, is most mm-hmm. often threatened. So that's why we created Aging with Dignity, is to put that focus on the dignity, the value, the worth of each person's life. And we're especially focused on the lives of people who are facing the challenges of aging or serious illness or disability. But I think at the end of the day, it comes back to feeling that sense of worth and value for yourself, recognizing it in other people, and seeing that other people recognize it in you, whether that's caregivers, family caregivers, doctors, nurses, or this really is something that we are in together, united mm-hmm. together in. And I think we need to see it that way, caregiving that way, and caring mm-hmm. for people around us in that way.
It's like the, you know, the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them. We're all going to get there at some point. You know, I've had older adults tell me they feel invisible at some point in their life. And I joke sometimes because I think I've seen it in myself where it's like, as you get older and you age, you don't want to blend in anymore. You start like, I'm honestly thinking about getting a turquoise colored car and, you know, wearing, you know, loud leopard prints and metallic shoes. I think we just are doing these things so we don't fade into the background.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It does sound fun.
Go
My kids
it.
Are like,
Go
no, mom, it. You can't do that. I'm like, oh, I can. Watch me.
Yep. Well, you know, and I think that desire that you have, that might not be the exact same desire of everybody. Mm-hmm. But for people who are living with serious illness or don't have the abilities today that they had 5 years ago, I think a lot of times they also want to not be anonymous, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to just fade into the background, or they're worried that that is what will happen. So they're looking for ways to stand out mm-hmm. and to be recognized and to be known. And really, frankly, that was part of the inspiration and the reason that we developed the Five Wishes document to begin with, was just to give people a way to say, these are some of the things that are important to me. If you love me, if you're caring for me, if you're giving me care, these are the important things for you to know.
It's so true. And I saw on the website that, and maybe this is even outdated a little bit, but 40 million copies in 30 languages in circulation. The first time I was exposed, and I see it for those of you watching on the video, the Five Wishes documents in the background, and of course, we'll link to it in the show notes on how you can get a copy. But the first time I saw it was back in 2014. My dad was in a hospice situation. And, you know, again, that's why I said in the beginning, like, it was kind of too late for him because, you know, we're in the last week of his end of life stage. And I saw this stack of Five Wishes documents come in the door. It was in Florida, actually, outside of Jacksonville. We were in a hospice situation there with him. But I opened it up and it, you've got time, right? Like you're sitting there end of life and you're just trying to process this whole experience. But I did use it for mom. So mom was, we had six more bonus years with mom, even though we thought she was going to fade before my dad, frankly. And we walked through the questions and it did really help us. And you know, I'm just curious though, how did the Five Wishes come to be and how does it help caregivers?
Sure. So our founder, Jim Tuohy, was legal counsel to Mother Teresa of Calcutta for 12 years. So
wow.
He worked with Mother Teresa and he assisted her and the Missionaries of Charity with legal work. But probably even more relevant to Aging with Dignity and Five Wishes is that he was a volunteer. He was a live-in volunteer in Mother Teresa's home for the dying in Washington, D.C. called Gift of Peace. And he had also worked in other missions in Calcutta and in Mexico and other parts of the world. But he was at the bedside of people who were approaching the end of life, often alone, without anybody else in the world to be there with them, except for those who were working as missionaries or as volunteers, as he was. And you know, that's different from how most people approach the end of life today in America, mm-hmm. not in a missionary home, but in some ways not so different, because sometimes, oftentimes, too often, people still feel alone, disconnected from loved ones, disconnected from their community. So when he founded Aging with Dignity and then eventually created Five Wishes, the goal was to just give a simple way, something simple and practical that every adult could do, every family could do together, to lay out some of the most important things that our loved ones and our healthcare providers should know about us if we get very sick and we're not able to make our own decisions anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what Five Wishes is. If you're familiar with some of the legal terms, it's a legal advanced directive or living will, durable power of attorney for healthcare. That's all baked into Five Wishes. But I think the beauty of it is that it's simple. It's easy to use and understand. You can fill out 5 wishes in your living room or around your dining room table with your family or loved ones or friends. And then it's a legally valid document. And it's also a clinical document. It's something to share with your doctor, make sure it's in your medical chart, and then talk with your family about it or your friends or anybody who would be involved in caregiving. It's 12 pages. Some people fill it out in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because they know exactly what they want. And other people will take a lot of time to kind of chew on it and think about it, maybe add pages of written thoughts to it. So simple, easy to use, and it's appropriate for every adult, everybody 18 and over. So if you're hearing this message and you're thinking about sharing it with somebody who you love, who you're caring for, that's wonderful. And the best way to do that is to get enough 5 wishes so that you can use it for yourself and your loved one and your family and your friends.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
I think in this day and age with the pandemic, hopefully that's even become more important that, you know, this is affecting people of all different ages. And, you know, and of course, any kind of situation can happen, you know, in a car accident or, you know, a life, we just, every day is a gift, right? And so you answer my question about when you start, like, don't delay. I know one of the things, like my kids went to college, like I wanted to get their power of attorney documents in place because I want to be able to help them and they were, you know, signing some things that I think I use Mama Bear of legal documents for those things. And I'll link to those for those of you that are in a similar situation. But I love that this is a 12 page document that it's binding, right? They don't have to go to an elder law care attorney and pay fees and do all that. How much is 5 wishes? I know there is a fee involved.
Yeah, basically $5 for individual copies, and we'll mail that to you, or you can buy it online and use it online. But we make it even actually more affordable for organizations that want to use 5 wishes, if it's a workplace or even caregiver support groups or churches. They're only $1 each if you get 25 or more. So any family or group that wants to use them and share them, if you get 25, they're $1 each, and then shipping and handling. So, you know, it's very inexpensive, and that's intentional. We want to make it accessible and easy to use for everybody out there.
I'm sold. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, like, I'm going to get a bunch for my caregiver support group. So why not? I mean, what a gift. So I'm making a note now, so I'll be sure to order a bundle of those and, you know, give them out to folks.
Yep.
Why do people wait on this topic? I mean, and none of us are getting out of here alive. So I know talking about death can be hard, and I call these courageous conversations too, these like difficult things that are hard, but how can we help people just have these conversations sooner rather than later? What can we change?
Well, one thing that you already mentioned is the fact that the pandemic put this kind of front and center for all of us. Certainly the idea of giving some indication about what's important to us regarding our healthcare and naming a healthcare agent, which is wish number one. So we've seen an increase in the number of individuals who are asking for five wishes, saying, I just want to make sure this is in place in case I need to go to the hospital or somebody in my family needs to go to the hospital. That's always the first question, one of the first questions that are asked if you're admitted to a hospital for any reason, whether it's a car accident or COVID or anything else, is who's your decision maker? Have you named a healthcare agent or a durable power of attorney for healthcare? And that's, of course, wish one of five wishes. So it's included in that. But back to why people don't do this, I think it's a bummer of a topic. Mm-hmm. It's not something that people want to talk about every day. You said, I think people realize that, yes, it's something that's likely to happen, but it's always off in the distance, off in the future. So I think that's why people just kind of kick the can down the road and think they'll get to it someday. But today is a good day, and it's an important day to do it. And I love the idea of having this conversation with someone, whether it's a family member, or even you mentioned your caregiver support group. This really is something that is really good to do with other people. So not in isolation. It's good to be able to talk it through, ask questions of one another. Those are the perfect settings to do it.
What are some of the other questions? I don't have one in front of me, so.
Yeah, so wish one is naming the healthcare agent, the person you trust to make decisions for you if you're not able to make decisions for yourself, and that can be temporary. That could be you were in a car accident and you don't have the mental ability to make decisions in the moment, or you're recovering from surgery. So it's not just end of life scenario, but it's anytime you're not able to make decisions for yourself, mm-hmm. who do you trust to speak for you? So that's wish number one. Wish number two gets into specifics regarding life support treatment, when you'd want it, when you'd not want it, so that you're giving your healthcare agent, your family, and your doctors some guidance to say, here's what I would want, here's what I don't want, and when I'd want it and when I don't want it. So just some clear guidance so that they're not left to, kind of grasp at straws or wonder what you would have wanted. And then wishes three, four, and five really get into the kind of the nitty gritty of caregiving. And I say that because we often hear from family members who contact us after they've cared for somebody who used five wishes, and they're most often commenting about wishes three, four, and five, because these are the wishes that ask questions about comfort. What helps you to feel comfortable? What are your thoughts about pain management? Do you want people with you? Do you want to have music playing? Sometimes people have a list of music that they want played. And remember, one woman said, I want music played, but don't bring in any harps. I don't want harps. I don't want to sound, I don't want the harps. Ask another question like, would you want to be massaged or massaged with warm oils? And I remember filling this out with my mom, and my mom kind of squirmed when she got to that point. And she said, I don't like it when people touch me because I get ticklish. So I don't want to be ticklish if somebody's giving me a massage. And I said, well, how about you like to have manicures, mom? How about if you had somebody giving you a hand massage? And she said, well, that would be great. I'd love that. Mm-hmm. So she wrote that in her five wishes. And those are the kinds of things that, maybe if you haven't cared for somebody before and you're looking at this, you might think, well, that's kind of small and that might not be really important. But I tell you this, from families who have contacted us, and I know in my own family, that information is gold. Because as caregivers, so often we have this intense desire to do the right thing. We want to do right by our parents or whoever it is that we're caring for. But all too often, we don't know what the right thing is. Right. Mm-hmm. And we've never done this before, so we don't know where to start. And that's where Five Wishes comes in, is that it gives you a starting point. It's almost a playbook for what good care is for this person who you love, whether it's about medical treatment or personal care or comfort, and even matters of the heart and soul. It addresses things like saying, I want my family to know that I love them, and I grant forgiveness, or I ask for forgiveness. these types of things that are often right at the tops of our hearts and souls and the desires of the things that are important to us that often don't get talked about. Five Wishes puts it on the surface so that you have a, not so much an excuse, but there's just a format to follow so that you can follow that through and get into the heart of the important stuff to convey.
Yeah, I know for our family, it gave us peace of mind where there was no guessing. And I'm one of six kids. So you've got a lot of different opinions, right? When you're coming into this stage and everybody's got their thoughts and it's like, well, mom said this. So we pretty much have to go with what mom said. And how can you argue with that? You know, and what that does is, you know, peace of mind. And it just freed us, I think, to just not worry and not have that decision fatigue about things, but just to be in the moment and be present. Because I think it is a gift to be with somebody at their end of life stage.
That's right. And, you know, Elizabeth, you said exactly right with, if you're one of six kids and I have six kids, so I need to think about that as I'm planning for my own kids to know what I would want. But we hear that from families all the time where there's this common refrain of everybody wanting the best thing, say for mom or dad, and really loving mom or dad and having a very firm idea about what mom or dad would have wanted. And if you have six people or six kids, they might have six different ideas of what they think mom or dad would have wanted. And if you can present then the answer to say, well, actually, we talked with mom and dad about this last year and we wrote it down and we don't have to guess. We don't have to disagree because some of these answers are here. Now, you're never going to give every answer for every possible scenario, but we can give some of the basics and that's what Five Wishes winds up doing is it gives those answers so that family members, caregivers, healthcare providers, they don't have to guess and they also don't have to disagree because we have certainly seen, you know, that scenario play out in families that who we hear from and they all love each other, but they have very different thoughts about what the right thing to do is. And that can cause terrible and unnecessary division in a family. And that's why we hear from families so often, if a loved one used Five Wishes, they say this was such a gift. It was a gift to us because we can imagine how hard this would have been without it. So we hear that oftentimes families saying that Five Wishes turned into a gift that either they gave or they received. Both ways.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But that's part of the fun part of your job in some ways. I mean, yes, someone's lost someone, you know, but to know that you had a role in shaping that in a positive way. No wonder you've stuck around for so long with working with them. So yeah. Is there anything that like, I mean, as far as like trends in our industry, the aging industry, like, or if you could wave a magic wand, you know, is there something that you wish would be different?
Well, I think one of the things is just if I could wave a magic wand, it would be to take away the reluctance to talk about this and that barrier that's often there. And actually, that's the wand that we intended with Five Wishes to wave, because the barriers that were there in the past were that this seemed out of reach because it was considered a legal document, legal discussions. And so the thought was, this was a conversation for the lawyer's office. And if you couldn't afford a lawyer, you couldn't do this. Maybe you could talk with your doctor about it, but that would be a short conversation. It would be about the clinical components. So I think that really that was part of the intention of Five Wishes is to make this attainable, reachable, so that every adult is empowered and feels empowered and like they're qualified to have this discussion. If you don't feel like, you know, if you feel like this is something that requires a law degree or a medical degree, then unless you have one, you're just not going to start it. But that was our idea with Five Wishes, is to really just provide something that was easy to use so people would feel empowered, because they really are, we, all of us, are the experts in what's most important to us.
That's true.
We just need to be able to tell that story. And I think when you talk about trends, this idea of telling your story, explaining a bit about who you are and what's important to you and what you want your legacy to be, that is a trend. I mean, we see that in people thinking about, looking up their ancestry and writing stories for loved ones and putting together photo albums and storybooks, because it's a desire to have something that that lives beyond us and creating some of our own legacy. I think that's a trendy type of thing. Mm-hmm. And Five Wishes in Advanced Care Planning fits into that, because as you think about your legacy and how you want to be remembered, the final chapters of the book, of the story, are going to be important. Mm-hmm. And so often people feel like they have zero impact or influence in their final chapters, like they're just along for the ride. But Five Wishes lets you, if you can't write the whole chapter, you can at least write the main plot points. Mm-hmm. and the way, and kind of lay the track for how you want the story to go. And that's an important part of life. So to ignore that is to ignore how the story ends. And any author will tell you, you don't ignore how the story ends. That's the most important part.
Yeah. We put a lot of thought, I think, into, bringing people into the world and what that needs to look like. And, we have birth plans and all of these things, and we kind of fall short. And, choose your own adventure novel. I don't know, like that. Yeah. You want to have more say in it.
Yep. And I know birth plans well with my six kids. I think we had six different birth plans. And
yeah,
they were different all the time, and none of them went exactly according to plan, but they were all wonderful.
Nice. Yeah. There's a lot of chatter too about artificial intelligence. Is there some kind of, what's your thought on that? Like, I can kind of see both sides. Like, as a former IT professional, I feel like in order to fix and help our aging, we're going to need technology in some ways to help us scale, but we've got to be careful. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on AI?
I agree. I you're right. It can be very helpful. Technology, if we are its masters, if we're controlling it, and I, by that I mean us human beings, then it can be very helpful. And certainly technology is assisting those who are aging or living with a serious illness. There are ways that technology can make life easier and help us to stay connected with our parents across miles, through communication devices or reminders and things like that. So there's good there. But yes, we would also wave the caution flag that if we relegate caregiving to artificial intelligence, then we lose some of the humanity. Mm. And without the humanity, it's very hard to hold on to our human dignity, the worth, the value of each person, and caring for each person as a unique human being. Mm-hmm. So that would be our caution flag, is that if we, assign caregiving to AI algorithms and clinical decision-making only to AI algorithms, then there's a part of the human interaction and connectivity that isn't there. And without that connectivity there, there's something missing. Mm-hmm. And that would have a trickle down effect into our relationships and how we care for one another. I would say that caring for someone is one of the most uniquely human things that we can do. It calls out from us what we were made for, what we were made to do. And logistically, it might be easier to assign some of that to technology-driven products. But if we do that, then we lose some of that essence of who we are, what we're made for, and what calls out of us real beauty in the midst of challenges, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting trend to follow. We'll see what happens. I feel like we're getting closer and closer to the Jetsons as we live on in this. So
and we're doing that too. So we have two different websites, and I'm sure you can probably link to both of those.
In your notes.
But that's there's fivewishes.org. It's spelled out fivewishes.org. That's all the information that you need to know about the Five Wishes program and using it for yourself and your family. And then also our organization's website, it's agingwithdignity.org. And keeping an eye on the use of AI in caregiving and aging is something that our organization does. So you can subscribe to a free membership and keep up to date with weekly newsletters and updates. And there's a great video series on that website as well about caregiving, nice. Legacy making, and good resources that you can find.
Good. There. Well, we always need more of those. So I will definitely link to that. Let's switch gears, Paul, because I'm curious, like we also are about infusing self-care into our daily lives. So what is, you've got six kids and you're working. What does your self-care life look like?
Boy, that's a good question. So the first thing that comes to mind is prayer. And that's something that we actually bake into our work. We don't have a connection to a particular church or denomination, but faith, spirituality, it's a part of who we are and our work. So in our office, we provide time for each person in our organization to have time for personal prayer every day. Nice. However you choose to use it, to do it. So for me, that's one of the most important parts of the day that I would describe as self-care, because it's, for me, that's kind of connecting to the purpose, right? The, mm-hmm. What the day is about, staying grounded, rooted in that. So for me, that would be a part of self-care. And I'd say another thing would be something that I try to bring to my family too, is a connectedness out in nature, especially mm-hmm. in the past year and a half during pandemic time and when kids were not in school, especially. One of the things that we love to do is just to take a walk in the park, and or we're not too far from the coast in Florida. And my favorite place to go is any part of a coast that has a lighthouse. I love being near a lighthouse and water. And if it's sunset, that's even better.
Perfect. That sounds lovely. Yes. I feel like there have been some silver linings, right, to the pandemic. And I think getting in touch with nature, I mean, I've never walked my neighborhood as much ever, you know, and just noticing the change in the seasons and getting to know my neighbors. And that's been a blessing, I think, for sure.
Yep. And for me, both of those things are kind of the rootedness or the anchor in the things that are constant, the things that don't change. And that even points back to your original quote about balance. When your balance is thrown off, you know, look for the things that bring some balance or equilibrium or order back to life. And those are the things that are constant. So for me, that points back to prayer, and it points back to the created reality around us, right? That's constant.
That's so true. Even sometimes when you don't feel like doing it, it's like, you remember how that made you feel when you did those things consistently. And so fake it till you make it kind of thing, until it becomes to be a habit again.
Yep. Don't be discouraged.
Yes.
Remind myself of that too. If you lose balance, don't feel like that's where you're supposed to stay forever.
Yeah. You've been there before. You'll get there again. So I wrote a book, Paul, called The Just For You, A Daily Self-Care Journal, with caregivers in mind, but it's not just for caregivers. But the idea is that it helps infuse self-care into someone's daily life. And it really, you know, someone who particularly may have lost their sense of self and rediscovering that, and frankly leaves a legacy, you know, of, we were talking about that earlier, on the pages, like when someone finds your completed journal, they're going to learn a lot about you and your values and what you are all about. So I just earmarked a couple pages. This is called the lightning round. So whatever comes to mind, there's no wrong answers here. So what relaxation strategy helps you the most, you know, when your mind is swirling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would, I think probably just a sense of space, of if I need to just recenter myself, close my eyes, take a few deep breaths, and be aware of my time and space and where I am. So I think that would help me to relax. I think I'd turn back to prayer also in mm-hmm. that moment, even if it's just a short moment, as a way of kind of coming back to the center.
That's good. I like that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we had a pretty heavy topic today. So this is the funniest movie. It doesn't have to be the funniest because that's a lot of pressure, but a funny movie that you know you could turn to just have a few laughs.
Oh, man. Gosh. A few laughs. I got to make sure I don't get myself into trouble here. my wife and I watched it again recently. It was the movie Notting Hill. And we, with the Hugh Grant,
yeah.
Yeah. And that has comedy elements to it. And we saw that being filmed when we were in London for a time. And so that kind of has a special little connection.
Yeah. Well, a good rom-com.
It is. Yeah.
So good. That's a good one. Okay. Let's see. We did. We talked a little bit about technology, but how do you incorporate technology into your healthy habits?
Ooh, good question. I try to limit it, certainly, as far as how it, where it's injected into life, because I think it can be overpowering into all parts of life, at work and family life. So I try to pay attention to limiting its use. So that I'm deciding when it's used and not it's deciding when it's being used. But I think it's wonderful for communication. I love using technology to stay in touch with people. Certainly with Facebook presence, social media presence, Aging with Dignity and Five Wishes is able to provide good, helpful resources and information to our members, to the people who we're connected with, to our partner organizations. And I love doing that. I love using it for that good.
Yeah, those are good. I can appreciate your view on being unplugged too, because something that since the last recording that I had just completed was a 4-day backcountry trip in Wyoming. It was actually, I was training to be a caregiver retreat leader with a company called No Barriers USA. And, you know, that their whole thing is what's within you is stronger than what's in your way to push your limits. But it was a beautiful thing to be in real wilderness where you could not be connected. And I wanted to kind of take that home with me a little bit. So I have, grounded myself so that on Sunday I'm completely unplugged, you know, from social media and in particular, because it just gives you space and room to do other things, you know, read and just be in nature. And so my plan is to keep that going, to at least have one day a week where I'm not being infused with all of that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And probably, and especially for caregivers too, if you have time where you know the person that you're caring for is being tended to and cared for and safe, then that is important to be able to just to completely unplug. Mm-hmm. I think of even my wife and I, if we're out on a date night and we know that we have a responsible person watching little kids at home, we will kind of put the phones away and just trust that if there's something really bad happening, they'll call back several times and then we'll pick up.
Yeah. There's even the setting right on your phone. As long as they're in your favorites and you have that setting, at least with an iPhone, that it'll get through. So there's some peace of mind there. Okay, last question is to count your blessings. What are a few of the blessings in your life right now, Paul?
Certainly my thought goes to my family. And at home, as we're recording this, it's in the days following Hurricane Ida hitting Louisiana. And we have some guests, great family friends who are staying with us, who came from Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
Who are staying with us. So that's been a blessing in the midst of challenge that they're faced with. Mm-hmm. And I've had this wonderful blessing in the past couple of weeks where my oldest kids have just moved out to college. So with six kids in the house, we had our oldest two move out within 4 days of each other, which was both a challenge and a great blessing.
Aww.
To be able to watch and not only watch, but be part of. So there's a lot of beauty and blessing to that.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. We're empty nesters. We've got the two in college and, you know, we miss them, but we're also, it's fun to see what they're up to and to connect. And again, thank goodness for technology keeps us connected. So, that's awesome. Well, is there anything, Paul, that you would wish that we were going to talk about today? Any closing thoughts, words of wisdom? I know we've spoke about the links that they can get to, so we'll certainly connect those on the show notes page.
Yep. So check out those links, get your five wishes and share them with the people around you, your family, church, workplace. There's no network or group of people that it's inappropriate for. We work in schools and it runs the gamut. So I think the biggest encouragement that I would give to all the listeners is just to take the opportunity after hearing this message to share this gift with your family, mm-hmm. really to provide the gift to your family, to share it with them, and whatever help you need, that's what we're here for. So from our website or their toll-free number, 1-888-5-WISHES, you can call us from anywhere in the country. And we'll answer your questions or help you along the way.
Wonderful. Thank you for having a part in our life here with the Miller family. And I look forward to just amplifying what you all are doing and seeing where this goes and see how many families' lives we can touch. Thank you for coming on.
Great to be with you, Elizabeth. And thank you for the wonderful and the important work that you do and helping and strengthening and sustaining caregivers doing powerful work in their homes and everywhere where they are. And you help them to do that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us today on the Happy Healthy Caregiver podcast on the Whole Care Network. As always, show notes that accompany today's episode can be found on my website, happyhealthycaregiver.com. Just look under the podcast menu for today's episode image, and that will take you to the page with the links and information we spoke about today. You'll also find other resources on the website, along with links to purchase the Just For You Daily Self-Care Journal. When you purchase from my website, you'll get a signed copy and for a limited time, free shipping. If you've enjoyed what you heard today, consider subscribing to the show on your podcast platform. It really helps other family caregivers find the podcast, and you'll automatically receive our bi-weekly shows in your podcast listening queue. Maybe while you're subscribing, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just simply talk it up on your social channels. Let's stay connected. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as Happy Healthy Caregiver. And until we meet again, please take care of you.
Thanks for listening to Happy Healthy Caregiver on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Next week, we'll be featuring another episode from Marianne Securo from All's Authors. Keep it right here on UK Health Radio as our next show is coming right up.